You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
How do you dress? Look around this place right now. I want you guys to find the best looking person. Stop looking at me. You're looking at me. Yeah, I want you to find the best looking person. I want you to look at how they dress. Now, I want to say, how many of you guys this morning woke up and you looked in the mirror? Anyone look in the mirror this morning? Y'all better raise your hands, y'all. Because if you don't raise your hands, I ask more questions, okay? It just gets worse, all right? So, I'm a big fan of getting dressed in the morning. I'm a big fan of being at church and wearing whatever you want. How many of you guys notice that we're a pretty casual church? How many of you guys grew up in church? Anyone grow up in church? Yeah, man. Okay, Dexter Jackson. You guys know Dexter. He's at the front door. Every Sunday, that dude's dressed up to a T, man. He's in a fresh suit. He looks good, right? So I found this outfit during one of our clothing sales. And I told my wife, I said, I got to buy that outfit. A full sweatsuit, dude. I mean, are you kidding me? This thing's tight. So I went and bought this outfit, right? And I took it to my kids' soccer camp. They have a little soccer camp they're going to. And I tried it on there. I thought, I'm going to wear it out first there. How many of you guys ever bought an outfit and were a little nervous to wear it? Has anyone ever done that before? I wasn't nervous. I was excited. And so I put this thing on, literally white beat and all. I had both my chains out, you know, because on the streets, I'm Pastor Two Chains. I'm not just Pastor Tommy. I'm Pastor Two Chains. Where's my other chain at? There it is. There we go. So I walked in, and I came and checked out my kids. I don't talk cool, right? I just talk very... as racist as this sounds, white, okay? Just like plain as could be, like, hello, how are you? You know, kind of like that. And so I walked in and they're checking me out, you know, the kids out, I'm writing it down and everybody's just staring at me. I mean, everybody's staring at me like, one, who is this guy who would wear this outfit to a kid's soccer camp? Like who would do that first off? Because that's not really like how everyone else was dressed. Everybody else was dressed, you know, they're coming out in their jeans and a t-shirt. Everybody else was dressed in their leggings. You know, the girls wearing leggings and a regular shirt. And here I come out. And by the way, this is in July. So it's not like I had any reason to wear this outfit. And so they're all staring at me. Well, what happened was the next day, because I was speaking to the kids, that the next day I drop them off. And all the counselors are asking my kids, who's your dad? What was that outfit he was wearing? And everyone's attention was on me because of how I prepared myself to pick up my kids. And I stood out, y'all. I stood out like a sore thumb. So this morning, I was coming to church. I told Susan I was preaching on last night. And I was looking through my closet. I wanted to grab, you know, we had the business meeting afterwards. I was going to prepare for the business meeting. And I put on my blue checkered shirt. And I thought, you know what, though? I want to prepare myself a little bit differently today. I'm going to put on this outfit. And the reason why I did this was because I want to talk about, are you dressed appropriately for what you're called for? What is your calling and how are you preparing yourself? See, last week we talked about God dreams. Last week we talked about, man, you know, you have a calling and you have a purpose. And I went through that. And the truth is, I knew talking about purpose does two things to our congregation. One, it gets one group really excited. And two, the other group gets discouraged because they go, I don't know what it is. So last week we said, man, I want you to write down your God dreams and I want you to pray to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what my purpose is, but I want to know. How many of you guys wrote that down in your journals? Anyone do that? Y'all better get saved or something. I don't know which one it is. Nah, man, and prayed about our God dreams. And then I started thinking, well, you know, there's another part of this story that's actually really important about you walking out your purpose. Look to to the person next to you and say, you have a purpose. Tell them that. You have a purpose. No one even said it to you. You have a purpose. She ditched you and went straight to my wife. You have a purpose, all right? You do. Look to the other person next to you and say, you were created for something. You were. You were created for something. You were not just created on this earth just to be a somebody who does nothing. God has destined you. And I know that's like a funny thing to say, but how many of you guys know scriptures makes it clear that he's the Alpha and the Omega? How many of you guys know that? That he's the God of all creation, and he knows the beginning from the end, and he even knows the hairs on your head. But then he says, I also named every star in heaven. He is not a God who is an accidental God. He is a purposeful God in all that he does. And that includes you. And sometimes, you know, last week we talked about this, sometimes we walk into life and we go, I just don't know if there's anything important in my life. I don't know if I'm doing anything purposeful. And we use different examples, you know. And there was one story I didn't tell you guys about, and I love this story. I should have told you. It's this little man on some street in Australia. I can't remember. Do you remember that story? No, you do when I start telling it. If you get the name of the story, will you tell me? Just interrupt me. Yeah, thanks, Pastor Micah. There was this little man, he got saved. He was a sailor, in the Navy guy, and this is back in the 40s and 50s. And he gets saved radically, and just radically saved and changed his life. And he was so thankful to God that he decided every day he can, every day he's able, he's going to minister to 10 people. And this guy did that. He went out and he passed out a flyer, and he just asked one question. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? And the truth was, he didn't let anyone answer it. He just asked the question. How many of you guys know some questions aren't for you to answer to other people, but you need to answer before God, right? And he saw that. So he said, man, you know, if you die today, are you going to go to heaven or hell? Well, he ended up ministering to, no joke, thousands and thousands of people, but not just regular people. You're talking the president of the Baptist Convention over the entire, like, the Baptist Convention. You guys know how many Baptists there are? There's like thousands, millions of them. There might be 2 billion for all I know, but there's a ton of them. He ministered to these guys who were Buddhist priests, right? And they got saved, and now they're leaders of all, and transforming all these Buddhists because he ministered to them. And they finally found this guy and started talking to him and said, hey, man, you know you've witnessed to all these guys? And this is what he responded to them. He said, I had no idea what happened to everyone I talked to. I never knew one person who was actually changed by what I did. And the pastor who had found him had met, on coincidence, by purpose, I'm sure, thousands of people who were transformed by this one little man. I want to say this. You might not feel like your purpose is big, but how many of you guys know God is doing great things that you cannot see? And so I talked about that last week, but I realized that some of us go, I got a purpose, and we just kind of sit back and we do nothing until God makes it happen. And we get this laziness. And we don't prepare ourselves because we don't know if we're in our purpose yet. Great example of this, not being lazy, but not being his purpose yet, was Joseph. We talked about Joseph a little bit last week. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had this dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. And he wasn't there in his purpose. So what did he do in the in-between time? In the meantime, you work your thing, I'll work mine. I will quote that song every time I say that. I just want you to know that. If you guys don't know that song, you're a Christian. Good for you. It was Welcome to Atlanta, by the way, if you didn't know. Joseph wasn't in his calling right away. There's people in this room who haven't got to their calling yet. You're waiting. But I want to say this to you. In the waiting, you're supposed to be doing one thing. Getting yourself ready. You're supposed to be getting yourself ready. And there's going to be a time where you transition into different things. How many guys are married in here? Anyone in here married? How many guys know marriage changed your life? Did it not? How many guys believe it was in a good way? Yeah? Yeah? Good. Husbands? John? You're like, yeah, okay, John. All right. How many guys have had kids? How many guys remember having your first kid? Man, was that a transition. You used to be like, you'd stay up and watch movies. And now you stay up and hold a baby who cries all night. You know, like, things change. We're going to talk about that. You are called to change as God takes you stage to stage. As God calls you into new things and into new places. And as he prepares you for your calling and your purpose, you're called to change. You're called to prepare yourself. Real quick, just so I can get this down, because we're going to go, if you have your Bibles, I need you to actually flip to an important scripture. We're going to go into the John chapter 11, verse 41. John chapter 11, verse 41. Check this out, man. I'm going to read the story here in a second, but I want to talk about how you dress and why dressing is important. And we're going to read four scriptures all about God talking about how you dress. And obviously, we're not talking about just how you dress when you go out. I'm not talking about how you dress when you go to church. But I don't know if you guys have ever been to an important event. Have you guys ever been to an important event and you didn't dress appropriately? Anyone ever done that before? I've done that for all the way up until I met my wife. That was almost every event I ever went to. I know that sounds like a joke, but I don't think it is a joke, honestly. I think that there wasn't a time in my life that I knew how to prepare myself correctly. I remember dressing up for a wedding one time, and I was the pastor for the wedding. And so I knew that I could wear a black suit. Well, my wife really got mad at me for this because, does anyone in here like Michael Jackson? I love Michael Jackson. And I had this black suit, and I thought it would be so cool. I had these black shoes that were like tuxedo shoes, so they kind of stopped right here at the toe, right? And then it was like my foot. I thought, man, I should wear white socks with these shoes. And I did. I wore a white shirt, man, and I went into that wedding looking like I was Michael Jackson's backup singer or something, man. I came in. It was inappropriate, truthfully, because I was stealing attention, but the truth was I didn't prepare myself well. There's been times I've walked into big meetings, serious meetings with people, and I'd walk in not prepared well. I'd walk in a t-shirt and jeans, and these guys would be in suits. Now I'd walk in looking like a real bum. And how many of you guys know when someone's not dressed appropriately for something, they stick out like a sore thumb? But not just that, when someone's not dressed up appropriate for something, there is a place of disrespect. Real quick, one more story I gotta tell you. Me and Susie were at a wedding. This guy is forever tattooed in my brain. We went to this beautiful wedding on this beautiful farm. It was like massive. You know where I'm going with this? Yeah. And there was a family member of the wedding party showed up, and this dude, I don't know how to tell you what he was wearing. Huh? It was like, okay, I want you guys to imagine a frat house in 2004, okay? Upside down visor, big glasses. He wore jean shorts that were like down to his leg and a tucked in polo, double polo. You guys remember the double polo look? Yeah. This wedding wasn't in 2003. This wedding was in 2018. It wasn't that long ago. And this dude showed up and he was a mess. And I remember me and Susie were going, how disrespectful is this guy? He wasn't concerned about the wedding party. He came into this place dressed for himself. And I was just blown away by him, right? He's tattooed in my mind. And so I'm just saying a lot of the same thing. How you prepare yourself is important. That you are not called just to linger around. You are called to examine yourself and say, hey, how am I preparing for what God's called me to? Now, I want to just give this quick story. This is kind of a parable story. This is a true story, but in today's sermon, it's going to be more of a parable. This is a story about Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of the Lord Jesus. He was a good friend of the disciples. Well, Lazarus died. And this is what happens, man. He's dead, and Jesus shows up, and Jesus is late to the scene. But none of that's actually really the big part of the story I want to tell you. What I want to tell you is that this part right here, verse 41, Jesus is at the scene. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's been prepared for his death. That means that they wrapped him up in cloth. They mummified him. And it says this, that they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. How many of you guys are thankful that God does things to get your attention? Aren't you guys thankful for that? He says, man, I'm not praying this to you, God, for your sake. I'm saying it because I need everyone else to see it. Isn't that a merciful God? He could have just sat there and said, all right, come out. He didn't, though. He said, I want them to hear what I'm saying. So now it says this, that when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hey. Look at this guy. Look at that, man. Not bad, dude. I literally just caught him in the bathroom. I was like, hey, you want to do something? And I was literally just, this just happened. But look at this next verse. I want to show you this next verse, man. It says, Lazarus, come forth. And the next verse says this, man. Jesus looks at him. Oh, did I give you that last verse? I hope I did, Kimberly. No. She's so fast. She's going to pull it up. I just need that next verse, Kimberly. 44, I guess. I didn't give it to you. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And the scripture says, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, I'm just going to pull out a few things on this, and then I want to talk about you personally. But I love this story because Lazarus wasn't mummified just for fun. He was mummified because the place that he was going to was the grave. He got prepared for the grave. Him in these grave clothes, this was important for him to be wearing while he was in his graveyard. While he was in the tomb, he was dressed for the occasion. They would not dress people up in tombs and lay them down in a t-shirt and jeans, because back then what they would do is they would actually try to mummify them a little bit and preserve their bodies a little bit, but they knew they would rot. And that's why it was so important to seal the tomb, because stench would come out. And so they said, all right, let's wrap them. And they would wrap them tight, man. And they'd make sure that this is like really tight. And they prepare the body and they pour oils all over them. And because Lazarus was dead, his preparation was grave clothes. But the first thing that Jesus says to everybody around when he came out of the grave, when he was no longer in that place, he says, get those clothes off of him. He says, loose him. And let him go. I love this verse because when he was in the grave, this is how he should have looked. But when he came out, it was a time for a change in his life. And I just want to say this to you. Some of y'all have been in places for a long time and God's trying to call you out, but you're going, I don't know what I'm supposed to look like. I talked about single people, married people. Listen, getting married from single to married is a big transition. Men, women. Can you breathe? Okay. We're going to have a real Lazarus story here in a minute if I'm not careful. This is like a simple, practical thing for people who are single going to married. And every married person, I hope, has recognized this. Man, when you get married, you have to change your single clothes off. It's no longer, look, man, when I was single, I didn't do a good job at this. I just want to make it clear. I was just telling my wife how dumb I was. Not dumb like doing bad decisions. Dumb like I was totally oblivious to everybody. I didn't know how dating worked. That's probably why Susie got me. I was dumb. Good job, Susie. You guys know dang well, looking at us too. She was the dumb one. You guys know that. No, man, I remember getting married. And it used to be, you know, you'd walk around, and if there was a pretty girl when I was single, you're always peacocking, right? You're always trying to get their attention. And the truth is, that still happens with men who are in marriage because they want to keep on their old clothes of singleness. And then they'll walk into a gym, and they want to grab the attention of the women around them. And I'm not talking about them out there. I'm talking about us in here. That you got married, and you didn't know how to transition out of your single clothes into your married clothes. But God's first calling, when he called Lazarus out of the transition of where he was to where he went, he said, it's time to change. Can I talk to married women and men? This is huge. In your marriage, you are not supposed to be wearing your single clothes, walking around, taking off your ring and putting it in your pocket, dressing up, getting people's attention, flirting. Shake that junk off. You're supposed to be let loose. Now that's marriage. I want to talk about Christianity for a second. Some of y'all got called out of some dirty stuff. Some of you guys got called out of sin and being liars and adulterers and immoral and all that junk, right? And God's called you out, but you having a hard time changing out of your old grave clothes. Not knowing that God called you out of that. He said there was a time where you were sinning and you were dressed appropriately for how you're living. But he says, I called you out of that dang grave. Take off that junk. You're not called to keep wearing these clothes. This is the practical of the entire service. We're going into the spiritual here in a second. Every transition needs to come with change. Can I say that again? You're having a kid, believe me, there's going to be a change. You won't be able to live like you were before you had that kid. You got a new job? How many of you guys know a new job? You got to change. This is just a practical piece of advice. Every time you try to live like you were when a change comes into your life, you're gonna find yourself defeated. Every time you walk into that next room and you're still wearing your old grave clothes, people are gonna look at you and say, you don't belong in this place anymore. No, this is the fight. And listen, this is what we do, by the way, just so you know. Me and you, we do this thing that when we transition into life, we try to hang, can you hang on to that? We'll take off a few of the things, you know, we'll go, okay, I'm single, and I'm gonna undo your cloth, okay? Yeah. I was single, now I'm married. Oh, I needed something else. I was in sin, and now I'm free. And you go, I would happily take off some of these clothes. Man, you must be dying in there, dude. Hi, man. Yeah, man. Chris, it was you. I didn't know. It would have been a huge surprise if this was somebody else. That would have really blew me away, man. That would have been a... There you go. And this is what we do. We start stripping off, but we kind of, let's just be honest. We like a lot of the stuff we had before we transitioned into new places in life. And we do this thing with God. We say, God, I'll give you some of my clothes, but I'm just not ready to dress all the way up for you. Because this right here, this is, I know so many men, I was like this, man. I was so prideful. God, you told me to get rid of my grave clothes. The very first thing he says, and he comes out of that grave, he says, man, take off those clothes. Some of you guys got called into Christ. You guys got called into Christianity. He called you, and I'm not talking about new believers alone. I'm talking about old believers who've been walking this life out for a long time. You keep keeping your old clothes in your pocket. And you go, I just don't want to give that up. This is what Jesus says. He says, man, those old clothes and your sin, let me just talk about this for a second because this is important. Thank you, Chris, for you're great. Man, pornography and lust. Statistically, is devouring our building. By the stats, we might be the miracle church, no one in here deals with it. But it's not just with men, it's with women too. Pride. You know, this crazy amount of pride. I personally know pride so well, right? Jesus says, there's no room in my kingdom for these things. He says, there's no room for those kind of clothes at my banquet table. And some of us are going, God, I want to dress appropriately, right? I come in, and God, I'm reading my Bible every day, and I'm doing this and that. But we just keep hanging on. And, you know, and God says, man, when you come out of that sin, you're going, man, I'll come out of it. But we don't want to let go of some of this stuff. And this is what God says about your old grave clothes. He says, don't you know it's better to cut off your hand than to come to my banquet table with both hands? If your hand is hanging on to your grave clothes, if your hand is hanging on to sin, he says, and listen, that's not metaphorical. That's real. He's saying it is actually better. And I think you guys know this. How many of you guys know it would be better to go to heaven with one hand than go to hell with both? He's saying, no, this is real. And this is what we're doing. People are stumbling. We're going, well, I can't get rid of my phone. This is my phone. What am I going to do if I don't have my phone? We don't even believe that the grave clothes are that dirty that we would be able to throw away a phone. How can we ever agree with him when he says it's better to cut off your hand? We can't get rid of our phone. We can't get rid of our gossip. We don't know how to shut our mouths, right? He says, if you're transitioning into my place, you got to change. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, give Chris a hand. Chris, you can strip all the way down there. There's a story in Matthew 22. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew 22, verse 9. This is a big deal. This is such a big deal that you and I are literally invited to a banquet with the Lamb of God, it says in Scriptures. And this is the story that Jesus is telling. It's a parable, and he goes, man, I invited all these people to a wedding feast. And he's talking about the Jews. And he says that they denied him. They beat my servants up, my prophets. They killed him. So he says this in the parable that the king, who's invited all these guys to a wedding for his son, he says to the servants, therefore, go into the highways. And as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Can you guys imagine getting to heaven and seeing all the different people in heaven? Wouldn't that be awesome? What is it, Revelation chapter 7, the prophecy of the end? He says, every nation and every tongue will be before the throne room. Could you imagine seeing that? And he's saying, this is the guest room. This is what's going on. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Someone showed up before Jesus' throne room at the wedding table dressed like me. I know we're filming this and I'm about to screw you up pretty bad, but we got this food back here. I just want you to imagine this for a second. You look great, Michael Johnson. I should have made you my illustration. Can you guys see me in this dark corner back here? You have to crank your neck. He shows up and there's this banquet table. And they're getting together for a celebration. And it says that the Lord walks in and there's a man sitting at the table. And he's not dressed and prepared for that wedding feast. And let me just explain something about how you dress. How you dress is an actual representation about how you feel about the moment that's coming up. You think that funeral is going to be lame and it's a bum funeral, you don't care about the person, you'll show up in jeans and a t-shirt. If it's the president of the United States, you're going to show up in a full suit. You are preparing yourself, and the king walks in and he sees the guy. He sticks out like a sore thumb. Sitting at the table, he sees everybody else, but there's one guy who didn't prepare himself for that wedding invitation. He got the invite, he goes to the wedding feast, and while he's sitting there, he didn't dress for that husband and wife. He didn't dress for that invitation. He had no honor for them. He was so consumed with what he had going on in his life, he showed up in the same garments that he was just working in. He showed up in the same garments. There was a change that happened in that man's life. He got an invite to sit at the table of the Most High God. He took the invite, but he didn't care about the change. Oh, you're talking there's going to be a heaven? You're talking no more tears? Dude, I'm going to that party. Every nation, every tribe's going to be there? Yo, I want to go to heaven. What's the invite? Oh, just say this little prayer. Dear Jesus, come into my heart, yada, yada, yada. Boom, got my invite card. And they get that invite card, and they hear about that wedding feast. But they don't make a change, and they just sit at the table. And this is what the scripture says. The king looks at him and he says, friend. He doesn't say enemy. He doesn't say, you terrible, wicked person. He looks at him and says, friend. The one who took my invitation, friend. The one who went up on that stage that one Sunday and said that prayer, friend. Who sang my songs at church, friend. How did you come in here without a wedding garment? How did you get in here dressed like that? Did you not examine yourself before you walked into this place? Did you not look in the mirror for one moment when you walked into this place? Did the invitation not, was it not clear to you that you are to prepare yourself for the wedding feast? It says the man was speechless. This is one of the things I love about God. I got kids, right? I got a 10-year-old down to 5 months old. You know what my kids do better than anybody else I know? They explain away everything they did wrong. My son Jacob could seriously punch my daughter Holiday in the face and knock her out. And he'll say, I was defending myself, you know? And I wasn't there to see it, so I go, okay, is that true, you know? After Holiday wakes up from her coma, we get this true story. That's what I love about God, though. Just imagine, you're standing before the Lord. Why didn't you do what I called you to do? What are you going to say to him that would be an excuse to him? My brother Gabe told me this one time. I was overwhelmed. And I was a youth pastor. I was doing media. I was learning how to build websites. I didn't know what I was doing. This was literally the day I found out that Susie was like the most attractive person I ever met. Seriously, this is the day we're standing outside and she walked by and went, wow. She said, hey, Tom. I said, wow, that's a true story. But I was talking to my brother Gabe, and he just said, Tom, you're accountable to one. He says, in the end, when you stand before him and he says, did you do what I told you to do? There is no room for excuse for you to say, well, I wanted to, but I couldn't because my job hours were this. And these were the regulations. He'll say, no. I didn't say why you didn't. I want to know, did you do what I called you to do? Man, that shook me to the core because I could give everybody else an excuse. But with God, if he asked me that question, I'm speechless. Hey, why didn't you throw away your phone? No, son. You were looking at pornography on your phone. Why didn't you throw it away? Well, I didn't want to. What am I supposed to say to him? I know, you know already that you're supposed to prepare yourself. And your excuses work for everybody else. And this guy sitting at the table, he says, he was speechless when God said, how did you come in here without your garments? He's not going to be able to say, I got the invitation too late. He's not going to be able to say, oh, I didn't have the clothes. So this is what the king says to the servants. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Y'all, this is crazy. Cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Listen, I'm going to land this sermon right here, but I got to nail this out for a second. What have you been preparing for? Because I want to just tell you right now, the Lord doesn't put up with people who don't prepare when he calls them. He looks at them and says, I guess this isn't for you. I guess my invitation was just a joke to you. How are you preparing yourself? You've been invited. You've been called. Everyone in here, you've been called by name. What grave clothes are you trying to hang on to, man? What are you trying to hang on to? What is it that's so important that you thought that you could get to the banquet table in heaven and God's going to go, oh, nice grave clothes. What a wonderful outfit for the wedding. No, he says, examine yourself. Some of us are too busy examining everybody else. Watching every other pastor fall. He's like, I don't want you to look at their outfits. What are you wearing to my banquet? So how in the world do we dress appropriately for him? How in the world do we prepare ourselves? I got three really easy things. Number one, look to your neighbor. Say, what's up? There you go. Look to your other neighbor. Say, okay. I want you to hear this. You know what he says to Lazarus? He doesn't say, Lazarus, get that dirty clothes off of you. He says to everybody around him, I called him out of the grave. Now go clean him up. You see that person you're sitting next to? Here's one way you're supposed to prepare. You're supposed to help one another prepare for him. Did you know you're called to one another? You see someone in sin, you know what you're supposed to say? You're not supposed to be like, oh, you're bad. Hey, are you filming? What's up, Doc? What's up? This is how it's supposed to work. I got an invite. Mira, can you hold this for me? I got an invite to the wedding. I'm going. Mira Ben, she's a Christian too, but I'm seeing in her life, hey, Mira, you're still holding grave clothes. Did you know we are called to be the ones going, hey, Mira, you got to let that go. Get that out of your life. Because I don't want you to get to that wedding feast. You got the invite. You're going, but I don't want you to show up and get kicked out. You are called to be looking at one another saying, hey, how are you doing? You're called to be helping one another out. Take off their old stuff so they can step into their new things. But that's not the only way you prepare. I got two little stories. I love this story. This is the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. I'm just going to read a few verses. Actually, I'm just going to tell you the story, okay? Luke chapter 15, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go there. It's verse 14 through 24. The prodigal son, you guys know the story, I hope. It's two sons, and they have an inheritance, and one son takes the money. He goes and lives his own life, and he spends all of his money. All of his friends abandon him, and one day, barefoot and dirty clothes, he's out feeding swine. He's a servant for a farmer, and he's so hungry while he's feeding the swine. He's looking at these paws that they are feeding the swine, and he's going, man, I want to eat this garbage. Because pigs could eat whatever. They will literally, we used to have pigs when I was a kid. I remember my brother we'd run by them because pigs are mean. I remember they just grabbed his boot and ate his boot. Like, pigs will eat whatever. And he's out there, he's feeding the pigs, and he goes, man, being a servant in my father's house was better than what I'm doing out here. Like, look at me. And the reason why I know he's barefoot is the scripture talks about he gets shoes put on him. He's looking at himself and going, man, I am not dressed. And this is what he says. He says, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to offer, because of how I am, just to be his servant, not even his son. I'll give up my sonship if I could just be in his home. I will be his servant. And this is why he was walking afar off. His father sees him. Clarence, can you stand up for me? You're by afar off. And when the father sees him afar off, ragged, he's not dressed to be at home. He's not dressed like his son's supposed to be dressed. The father sees him and he runs to him. And it says in scriptures that he falls on his neck. And then he looks over and says, get him the clothes that he's supposed to be wearing. Get him a new robe. Put it on him. Oh, he's dirty. He's filthy. He's not dressed to be here, but we're about to have a party. I want to clothe him right. And so what they do is this is inappropriate, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to be in a wife beater. So if this is making you stumble, you got problems. And they bring the robe over and they put the robe on him. Then the scripture says, oh, get some shoes. I want to get some shoes on. Get some shoes. And they bring sandals out. And that's what I love about this story. As soon as the man decided to go to the father prepared his clothes. There's people in this room who go, man, I've been so dirty and filthy. Secretly, I've been in sin. Secretly, I've been lying. Secretly, I've been in anxiety and worry. Don't pretend that that's not an issue. That's dirty clothes when you walk around with anxiety and worry. And you just need to go to the Father. And the Father's going, if you come to me, I will clothe you. Stay there, Clarence. Revelation chapter 3. I just want to read these two verses, verse 17 and 18. Check this out, man. Jesus is talking to the church, believers, people who have the invite, believers. He says, man, you guys are lukewarm and you're like saying that you're coming to the wedding, but man, you're bumming out. You're not preparing for the wedding. You're lukewarm. You say you love me, but you do everything else. You say you're gonna follow me. You call me master, but you don't do anything I say. He says that you say, I'm rich and I've become wealthy and you have need of nothing. There's people in here who are like going to the wedding feast. They go, I'm fine. My sin's not that bad. Their sin's a lot worse. They look way, way worse than me. I'm fine. He says, but don't you know that you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked? You can't show up to here looking like that. You can't be at my wedding feast the way you're looking. He says, I counsel you, though, to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. I want to give you white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. I want to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. The scripture goes on and says, I'm at the door knocking. If any of you will answer the door, I will come in and dine with you. I will sit down and I will eat with you. Don't you see? I'm the one who put the garment upon you, so you are ready. All you gotta do is come to me. Return to me. Run to me. Say, it doesn't matter how messy I am, God, I gotta get to you because I wanna be ready for that banquet. So I'm coming to you today, God. I've been out with the pigs last night. I was in sin last night. My mind was wandering last night. In my bed, I didn't meditate on your word. I meditated on the things of this world. God, I gotta wake up. I gotta run to you this morning. Because I'm looking like a dirty mess. And I know when that wedding invitation's here and I'm supposed to sit at your table, if I stay in this mess, you'll kick me out. I need you to clothe me. I need you, God. I'm coming back to you. I want to run to you. Will you clothe me in your righteousness? Give me, and I love this, a garment of praise, a reason for me to dance and sing. God, I need it. But you're not going to get it by sitting by yourself. He says, you're naked. You don't even know how bad you look. It's my wedding. Let me get you a garment. Come on, it's my wedding. Just come to me and I'll prepare you. How you're dressed, how you're preparing yourself matters. So go before him and let him prepare you. Amen? I'm going to have everyone stand to your feet. I'm going to take my jacket back so I don't. Can you imagine the church, you know, where the pastor's walking around on a wife beater? A jacked up church. Just close your eyes for a second. I just want you to close your eyes, everybody in here. I want you to remove yourself from everybody else. We talk about this a lot. I say this all the time, man. If we're going to really believe the Bible, like if we're going to really, like there is no room for this, like I'm going to take the invitation and show up half dressed. That's what this sermon's about. I mean, literally, if this is real, I mean, there's some really important things that we need to handle. And some of you guys are secretly trying to handle some issues. And the Lord's saying, don't you know if you just come to me, I'll help you. I'll shake that stuff off of you. You're dirty and dusty, but I'll put a robe on you. I'll get your feet as sandals so you can walk on this earth protected. And so I want to just do something. I want to give a salvation call. But I want you to take a moment just to say, Lord, I'm coming to you today. My mouth, I love the prophet Isaiah. He got before the Lord and said, my mouth is screwed up. Some of y'all got screwed up mouth. You're saying stupid things. You're lying. You're exaggerating. You have coarse joking. The Lord said, I want to fix you. Come to me and I will clothe you. Some of y'all got things like worry and anxiety. He makes it clear, do not worry. Have all anxiousness be taken off of you. It's foolishness. When I think about foolishness, I think about dressing up like a clown, you know? You would never walk into a place with foolishness. He says, get that junk off of you. Just come to me. And I will dress you right for the occasion. Father, we thank you. God, us as a church, we're coming in unity together and say, God, we're before you right now. If there's anything on me, God, that needs to be shaken off, God, anything that needs to be removed, God, if you need to clothe me, I pray right now that you clothe us, God. That you prepare us, God, that we'd have our wedding garments ready, ironed, and hung up, Jesus, going, okay, I'm ready for that invitation. Jesus, prepare us today.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.